quick, short, something that that's been in my spirit that I just want to share real quick with you. And then I want to pray for some people. Hallelujah. Job 23. When you're there, say amen. The book of Jobs. So whenever you're in need of a job, go to the book of Job and read it and understand that he will direct your path. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you there? All right, I'll begin reading on verse 1. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is rebellion. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? No, surely he would pay attention to me. There the upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him. Therefore, I would be dismayed at his presence when I consider I am terrified of him." Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that your word is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you that your word is the hidden manna from heaven, Lord, that is revealed even to this day, that it is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the foreshadow of the Old Testament of the New Testament and a foreshadow of what is to come. Lord, I just thank you that we can read of your word, that it becomes substance and sustenance into our spirit. And we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. If you would, go back to that verse 11. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. If you trust him and acknowledge him in all your ways, he will direct your paths. He will. Didn't say it was going to be easy, but he will direct your path. He will help you out. You may feel like you want to argue, complain, and get mad at God, but he's going to help you out. We're in an hour of age now that we don't quite understand why we see so much turmoil, why we see so much going on in society today and in the body of Christ. I would venture to take you into the book of Genesis and when Noah was commanded to build the ark. Do we preface it to understand why he was told to build the ark? Because in the state of the people, it's the state of the people. He commanded Noah to build the ark because of the way the people were being. Who did God destroy? The wicked. Y'all can talk to me. It's okay. Y'all can talk to me. He destroyed the wicked. Who did God save? Righteous. Who perished? Wicked. Who was saved? Just making sure we're reading the same Bible. Now, this might help some of you that have lost pets along the way. He called every creature into the ark. Two of a kind, male, female. But this is what he said to do about the clean animals. Bring them in pairs of seven. Do y'all know that? In pairs of seven. Someone said, well, the animals came two by two. but seven pairs of clean animals. The ones that were unclean, just bring two. So I question why he allows the ants, the scorpions, and the spiders. The flies, definitely, but I know why the reason for the flies is because they eat up all the mess so that we don't have to worry about it. But, but I wonder about the ants. The ants. I was watering the yard the other day in my flip-flops. Standing in an ant pile. I had to spray myself down and, what in the world is this? Lord, I was just praising you. I was worshiping everything that you've done for me. Look at my pretty flowers. I felt the Holy Ghost. And then I felt a sting. It took me right out of the Holy Ghost. Have you guys ever happened that? You're at your home and you're praising God. Hey, you're washing dishes. You're back in. Hey, and you're vacuuming into the beat and everything. And you got your praise on. All of a sudden, ring, ring. Praise the Lord. What happened? Why'd that happen? You're kidding me. What? Okay, I gotta go pray. And then you hang up. Where'd the praise go? Now, I know we get phone calls like that. I know we get phone calls. The one that I like is when you get that text. That comes like in three or four texts in a row. And you don't know whether if you're reading the beginning, the end, or the middle. So you gotta piece it together. You know what I'm talking about. You get it. And you were, next page, off. The phone, okay. And so you're trying to piece it together. Your praise out the window. You had everything going. All of a sudden, just taken away. Kind of like how we are today in the church across the world. We're in the midst of something that's very, very profound and very deep. And God is beginning to move, and we see the movement of the Holy Spirit, but all of a sudden something comes in and whoo, takes it away. That's where we're at as a body. Well, I try to stay up, Pastor. I really try to stay up, and I praise God all day long until you get the phone call about your cable being turned off or your AC goes out or something. You lose all your praise. No, Pastor, I praise all the way through everything on my storms. And no, you don't. You say you do to us. But when you're at home and ain't nobody looking, only your dog looking at you, like, what you going to do now? I'm hot too, so I know you're hot. What you going to do? You, have you been there? People just watching you, even your dog looking at you. What you going to do now? What you going to do now? When you go through, he's directing your path. The steps of the righteous are ordered by God, so he directs your path. All the wickedness that was going on in the days of Noah, he directed Noah to build a boat. But when I read in the scriptures, he never told Noah to build a rudder that controls the direction. He never instructed Noah to build the captain's wheel. Noah, you ain't controlling this ship. You ain't going to take it the wrong direction. That was the way of God saying, I am your GPS. Amen. When you have a tendency to grab hold of the wheel and start turning, there ain't going to be no wheel for you to grab onto. That means Carrie Underwood has no song to sing no more. Jesus, take the wheel. He done took it out the boat a long time ago. So there's no wheel to be grabbing onto. You got to trust that when the waters begin to rise, that he takes you to a place that you need to go. Well, y'all hear last Sunday the prophetic statement that began to come forth about Noah going into the ark, sending him into the place of darkness. There was no AC. The only windows that were there were for the animals and the skylight. That's all it was. You can read in Genesis. Genesis 6 on. You read it. So that skylight, how many of you know that when it's raining, you don't need to look outside, you know it's raining. But with the skylight, a window, you look, oh, still raining. Still raining. Still raining. What is crazy to me is God told him how long it was going to rain. Has God told you how long you're going to be in this mess? Oh, we missed something, didn't we? We probably didn't get the email. We probably didn't get the text. No memo, no phone call. No sticky note on the refrigerator. That happens to fall off and then you never see it because it went right underneath the refrigerator. Then you get blamed for it later. So we didn't get the memo. How long are we going to be in this mess? How long are we going to be in this mess? How long? How long? We sit in the ark with all these animals. Stanky at that. They handle Febreze. And this is what the Lord showed me. He says, you can't control where you're going. You can't control the season. And you can't control who's in there with you. Because you know you want to pull, oh, sister so-and-so, because they know how to pray. I don't. You want to pull so-and-so because they can prophesy. You want to pull so-and-so because they got the gift of healing. You want to pull them in here. You want to pull, just get your butt in there, be still, and sit down. Okay, God. Huh? The animals got to go in and out. If you read it, it talks about how you make a window and you make an opening for the animals to be inside and outside. Read it. It shows you there. So they're able to go in and out. And Noah had to stay inside, seeing the animals being able to go in and out. In and out. Haven't you ever felt like the animals in your life have a tendency to be able to go in and out and get some fresh air, but you can't? You see them get a little bit, God is good. And Noah's on the inside like, they get to go out? But I have to stay in here? I got to clean up their mess? I got to feed them? Kind of like how the church is today. The church has to feed the animals, pray for the animals, clean up after the animals. Feed the animals, clothe the animals, but yet they don't want anything to do with God. But you got to do it. I would reckon to say that God said I had to tell him how long he's going to be in there, because how long I was going to let it rain, so that he'd understand, you're coming out of this, Noah. I know everybody's been knocking at the door to try to come in when the water's starting to rise. Just don't answer the door. You know, like when the bill collectors come. Y'all do that? They don't go to your house. It was only my house. We're here to cut off cable unless you pay. You take check. They're knocking at the door. Let me in, Noah. Let me in. You didn't hear me before. Matter of fact, when I started building this thing, y'all were making fun of me. Not one of y'all wanted to help get, you know, to build. You know how it is. No one wants to help you in the midst of what you're doing, but yet when it comes time when the water starts to rise, and I want to help now after the work's all been done and completed. So he tells Noah and his sons, and watch this, and the sons' wives. This isn't written. This isn't written in the Bible about the sons' wives. The sons' wives. Saying anything to their husbands. It's not written right. Because you know how it would go. Your daddy crazy. And your mama just sitting over there just smiling. She is on Prozac or something. What are we doing in here with all these animals? I knew I should have listened to my mama. Never married you. You, Y'all better help me, because y'all know what I'm talking about. You have some people in your life that they look at what you're doing for God crazy. Everything that you want to do for God, they think you're crazy. Why are you always praying? Why are you always fasting? Why are you always reading your Bible? And they call you, you run to the church. What you mean you're on rotation to clean the church? They ain't got no cleaning crew? They ain't got no, you give money all the time. How come you got to go clean it? They should hire somebody. Are you getting paid? What you mean you got to go cut the grass? They ain't got no grass. They got a little four square. That's all they got. Why you all burnt? You got bit by ants. There ain't no grass at the church. I drove by there. It's just a strip center. You know how they do. They get all mad at you. But in the midst of you out there, you praising God. Hallelujah. It's hot, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm doing this for the Lord. You know, when you're cutting grass, you have a tendency to make those lines look good. So when you drop it, dang, someone really manicured that lawn. Line. They really did a good job. That must have been a professional. They must have paid them a lot. Well, we give them coffee and donuts. You know, you got family members that do that. Do you know? Okay, don't answer if they're in here. Don't answer because you're going to... Don't answer. But you're doing the things for God, and they come after you. They get mad at you. They start complaining about what you're doing for God, and they ain't doing nothing. Amen. But wait a minute. They're the only ones that made it in the ark. The righteous were saved. The righteous were. See, they were asking Jesus later on, when will we know when the Son of Man will return? It'll be just like as the days of Noah. Just like in the days of Noah. What you talking about in the days of Noah? When we see rain? When you see all the profane things that are going on in the world? You see where they're making choices and governments allowing the choices to be made. And you're seeing all the fornication and all the just dirt in the people. My question to you, which has always been a question in the body of Christ, is who's going to be left? Just as in the days of Noah, who got wiped away? Who got judged? The wicked. Who got saved? The righteous. Remember Lot? And his wife and his children? And his family members, they were in Sodom and Gomorrah. Who got wiped out? The wicked. Who got saved? The righteous. And not by their acts, but because of the covenant with Abraham. All right? We're about to see, in this day and age, God calling the people out of darkness and into his light. When we see that, watch this. They called Noah out of the ark on the seventh month, on the seventh day. What is today's date? Seventh month, seventh day. See, when I had that last week, I said, God, you're stirring something inside of me. What's going on? And I'm about to take a sabbatical for the month, and I'm going to sit down and enjoy my vacation here. He says, I want you to study. Okay. That's a good thing for me to do. I get in the Word. I'll get lost in the Word. It's a good thing. He says, but I want you to take note of the date. Take note of the date. The seventh month, the seventh day, the rain stopped. The wind came in. It started blowing the waters out. And when he came out. He came out of darkness. He came out of the place that God instructed him to go into. You're coming out of your circumstance. You're coming out of the things that have tried to get you off course. Because when he's directing your path, the enemy comes in to try to get you off course. Steady the course. Steady the course. Well, I have no rudder and I have no wheel to control the direction I'm going in. Steady the course. Well, how do I steady the course? It takes your faith in him to steady the course. So that when the words come in here and people come in to try to pull you from here, you steady the course with your faith in him. If he's called you in, he'll call you out. He'll call you out. This is the hour, and I believe under the unction of the Holy Spirit that the body of Christ is being brought out of darkness to reveal the light of God in a whole new way. Many across the land and many prophets across the land are declaring the Great Awakening. Have you heard it? I've seen it. I've read it. I've heard it. Hey, okay, yeah, Great Awakening. Amen. Hallelujah. But with the Great Awakening comes responsibility. That responsibility relies on us. It relies on us. We must be quickened by the Holy Ghost to answer the call, to help those to come closer to the light. Amen? Are you ready for an awakening? Are you ready for an awakening? Are you ready? Are you ready for your spirit, man, to be awakened and quickened? Are you ready to come out of what you've been in? Are you ready for God to declare unto you, I'm going to have the waters to recede, and I'm going to blow away all the waters? See, what I found very interesting is that when he released the raven didn't come back. Because the raven doesn't care where it lands. It'll land on anything dirty. But the dove does not rest its feet on anything unclean. So it returned back into the ark, which is the presence of God, until it was able to land on the tree of life. The olive tree, and bring a branch back that had leaves already. See, when you're in the time of darkness, there's still things being produced for you. There was no seed put into the ground because everything was wiped away and was dead. But it wasn't until the winds came and covered the earth, the breath of God, the pneuma again came, that things begin to sprout. And a new harvest began. A new harvest that where the dove came back with the olive branch, with the leaves already sprouted, is you're stepping out of what you've been in and into something that is already producing for you. You'll step out of the darkness of obscurity, meaning you'll come out of that place of lack and step into your abundance. You'll come out of that lack of healing and you'll step right into your healing. You'll come out of the things that have had you so bound that you'll step right into your freedom. You understand? So the second time he releases the dove, watch this. It doesn't return until Jesus comes out of the River Jordan and it lands on the tree of life. Do you see that? When it was released out of the ark the second time, you hear about the dove again when Jesus comes out of the water. He was the ark in the water. When he came up out of the water, then you see the dove rest upon him, which is clean. He is the tree of life. The tree of life. I want to challenge your spirit, man. Are you willing to let God lead you to a place that you have no control over? Are you willing? And when he leads you there, he'll guide your steps all along the way that you can't even put your hand to the wheel to try to turn it, manipulate it, or control it. You have to trust him. And you'll have to trust in the means and the manner of which he desires to make it come forth. Sometimes it feels so, so ugly. It feels so, so bad. But truly, he's got a plan for your life. He has a plan. He has a plan. He's had a plan for your life all along. He's watched you. He's watched you. He's watched every step that you've made, every place that you've been, and every time that they misunderstood you, and every time they didn't receive you because they had a way of manipulating you. You've been through a lot of that. Manipulation and control that tries to put you into a form and a facet that is not who God called you to be. And they always want to manipulate the outcome through you. Because when people see the anointing and they see the light, they gravitate to it. But they want your light. They want your wisdom. And they want your fire. But what happens is they begin to manipulate it and cause the flame to be snuffed out. And you've been through a season being misunderstood, talked about, lied about, accused. I heard that, thank you. Well, you don't submit to authority. They try to use that over you, and they try to use scripture. Just like the people that brought the woman that was caught in adultery, they used scripture. God used grace. It says, I have called you both into a place. But you suffer some things that have come against you. But I've ordered your steps. And if you walk them out, you'll rest on the mountaintop with him. Your season of turmoil that comes against you, I don't care how many times you go through doors over and over and over, it just seems like something just comes every single time. Every single time. God, when is this just going to end? Your season of rest is here. It's here. Beloved, thank you for praying. Called you to intercede, not just for pastors and leaders, but you've interceded for this nation quite often. You've interceded for men of God to take their rightful place so that we could have true shepherds. And the Lord said, thank you for being faithful. Even when you were tired, you didn't want to get up. And you would just lay there and say, Lord, your will. Lord, your will. Lord, your will. I've called you in this hour, says God, to take your position. I would lead you to the greener waters, the greener pastures. But I've called you to lead and not to follow. You have followed man because you followed a doctrinated version of the gospel that has been embedded into your spirit at a young age. There was turmoil there because you would see that the grace wasn't in it, but you would see judgment and anger and bitterness. And you've asked, when will the gospel be the good news? When will it be the good news? And when can the people see how good God is? Because he's brought me out of much. And he has saved your life. Thank you for praying that the true gospel go forth. And thank you for praying. I've called you into a deeper level of intercession. It'll be a prophetic intercession. That when you stand and minister my word, I've called you to lead a people out. Lead them out. Don't stand in the back and don't sit in the back. You have a tendency to want to hide. But you know you're called to lead. And in this season, you will know that he's guiding you with his love. He's guiding you with his grace. Man of God, if I could just encourage you to preach your word, preach the word, preach it. Whatever form, whatever facet, and whatever way of delivery that he has for you, just do. He's called you to be unique and special for that purpose. His purpose. Side of it. And oh God, you have a discerning spirit that's very strong. You have a deliverance ministry within you that you can see beyond the realm of this natural into a supernatural realm. I pray that the eyes and the understanding of God be revealed through you, so you have an understanding of what to do and how to do it. And there's been some tearing in family members that are going to be restored, and forgiveness is going to be taking place. Take your position, man of God. Take your position. Because in the end, you will see that I have ordered your steps, says God. And you will walk this thing out, but you'll walk it out with the fruitfulness of the land. You will reap of the vineyards you did not plant. And you will reap houses that you did not build. And know this, you have labored in spirit for many years. Many years. In the tiredness, the letdowns, and disappointment have come to an end. Have come to an end. Your season of jubilee is here. Amen. Debts canceled. Bondage release. A family restored. I speak this as individuals. And the personal call that God has for you and for you. Take your position. Wherever that may be. Wherever that may be. I bless you, man of God and woman of God. And I welcome you to the house of man. Blessings to you. Blessings. Hallelujah. 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 God is calling us out. He's calling us out. I used to play basketball. You ever play basketball where you do call out 21, call out 21, and you'd roll the basketball to the opponent? Okay, me and you, I'm calling you out. You ever played that one? Well, and God's doing this. He goes, I'm calling you out. Are you going to pick up the ball? Calling you out. Are you going to pick it up? 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 If you pick it up, you have a responsibility to carry it. Had to carry the ark. They had a responsibility. They didn't have a choice to say, not today. Why? Because they knew their position. Do you know your position? Do you know your position? Carry the presence of God with you. Carry it with you. You go through. Go through. Carry it. Carry it wherever you're at. Wherever you're at, you carry it. Wherever. Doesn't matter where you're at. He may take you to a place that's uncomfortable. Carry the presence of God. And when they challenge you about your God, don't quarrel. Don't fight. Love. Because you displayed Him. Well, my God does this, and this is my religion. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. That's good. I'm glad you have such passion for what you believe in. That's good. What do you believe in? I believe in God. Sorry, I believe in God. What do you believe in, heaven and hell? I believe in God, baby. Without you being so argumentative, we can sit down and talk, but you just want to argue. I'm not here to argue. I'm here to love you. So we can love each other all the way through and carry the presence of God. It's a burden that's on your shoulder. Carry it. Carry it. They try to provoke you to argue. Don't argue. Don't. Love you. Come to my church. I'm good. Thank you. God bless you. When you come to mine, I'll go to yours. Oh, well, I can't go. Wait a minute now. You've been calling me brother and sister this whole time. But you can't come into my house of worship, but you want me to go to yours, but you won't even come to my house of worship? I love you. God bless you. You understand? I've had many of those. Hi, we were so-and-so. Yeah? How you doing? You ask any of my kids. Oh, it's for you. I'll spend hours with them. Just talking. Can you carry the presence of God? It's a responsibility of the church. You're all high priests. Every single one of you. Carry the presence of God. So when the ark of the presence is on you, they can run to it and be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have scheduled to have my cousin Lionel do tithes and offering. But as you can tell, we went a whole different direction. Okay. Whole different direction. What I would like for you to do is, if when you hand out the envelopes, guys, be obedient to the Spirit of God. Well, do I give 10%? That's on you. Well, I only have a dollar. Give a dollar. But if God says to give above your 10%, guess what? Obedience to Him is where your blessing's at. There's where your blessing's at. Jesus even rebuked him for counting the tenth. I'm only going to give 10%, not a little bit more, not just a tenth. He says, you're not giving out of your heart. You're giving out of law. You give of your heart. If you know what your 10% is, you give that. If that's what you want to do. If you don't want to do it, don't do it, because you're not really doing anything. You're cursing your seed. Now, as you do that, obey God in whatever He tells you to do. Obey it. Here's what I want to share with you. When Moses came out of the ark, he sacrificed unto the Lord, and God did not tell him to. He burnt offerings unto the Lord. The Bible says that the Lord turned and smelt this pleasant aroma. Pleasant aroma. You know what? When you're giving a sacrifice to God, and He stops what He's doing, and pleasant. In your giving is your sacrifice that is pleasing unto God. That'll preach all by itself. Preach all by itself. Now, that being said, you just obey God in your giving. Amen. Those that need prayer, sickness, disease, finances, relationships. So, Pastor, that's all of us. Amen. Oh, but I don't want to fall down. Well, don't. Well, I don't want all that oil on me. Really? All that hairspray and gel you put on your head, it's gonna come right off anyways. I'm just playing with you guys. Just playing with you guys. But I want to lay hands on you. I want to pray for you. I want to release faith, and I want to release a breakthrough anointing. I feel it, a coming out anointing that is here and present. Guarantee you by the power of God and the authority of God that His scripture says, I've called you out. Called you out. And they rested on the mountaintop. The mountaintop. Isn't that wonderful? They didn't have to climb. They rested and they lifted to a place where God wanted them. That's the blessing. That's the blessing. In your giving, you can give at the end of the service, but I want to lay hands on you. I want to pray for you. And I want to release what I feel that God is going to release. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's do it this way. Go ahead and put this right here, this way. We're going to come from this. I want to personally lay hands on you with oil and release an anointing that brings you out. Amen?